Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 70 of The Dynamite Effect, recapping the highs and lows from AEW Dynamite on TBS. I am your host and humble guide, Keela Cash. Thank you so much for joining me as week 127 of WrestleTopia continues. Happy Thursday morning, afternoon, and evening to you all as another busy week in the worlds of WWE and AEW continues. And last night was AEW Dynamite going down live from the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan. The first time AEW has won Detroit and the main arena in the city, the home of the Detroit Pistons. And this atmosphere last night in Detroit, in the Motor City, was absolutely amazing. You can feel the size of the crowd via the outstanding camera angles throughout last night's show. I love the minimalist staging as well, with the LED staging that really amplifies those in-ring entrances. So in terms of presentation, it was a great show. And I thought this year's Blood and Guts was a touch better than last year. The layout got kind of funky towards the end due to injuries, but I felt like this was a better match in terms of pacing when it started right after 9 o'clock. And I remember Kenny Omega cut this long-winded promo last year in Jacksonville that worked my last nerve and delayed the start of the match by at least 15 minutes, which sucked. This year was a bit different. We got the entrances before and after the break, and I just thought that the pacing and the layout was much better, and the quality of work was really strong as well. We did have one unfortunate injury, which I'll get to shortly, but this really continues a string of injuries that has hit the AEW roster pretty hard as of late. I feel for everybody that's going through it right now, and hopefully everybody heals up very soon, as I have not seen a stretch of injuries like this in quite some time. When you hear an update damn near every other day, and we got another injury to report, which I'll get to momentarily, but it's a rough stretch. And if they can get through Rampage and next week's TVs without injuries, that is definitely a step in the right direction to kind of curb this problem moving forward. As we kick things off with Orange Cassidy versus Ego Ethan Page, and Dan Lambert cuts a promo. I tune him out for 95% of it as he kicks best friends out of the ringside area, as it's going to be a one-on-one match mostly. And Orange Cassidy is so over. He was out for a few months due to a shoulder injury dating back to the Revolution pay-per-view in March. He came back a few weeks ago on Dynamite, and he has been on fire. This guy is so good. The shtick is everything, but when he is on, he is spectacular. And last night was no exception, delivering crossbodies to Page early on, the kip up and a tope through the ropes as well to Ego Ethan Page. Page does fire up by delivering a shoulder tackle to Orange Cassidy's injured shoulder, and he slows down the pace as Lambert delivers those mocking kicks to Orange Cassidy at ringside as we go to a picture-in-picture commercial break. We come back, and Page is still working over Orange Cassidy, delivering a series of suplex as he goes for the Ego's razor's edge, but the power of Orange Cassidy's pocket saved the day. He gets his hands in his pockets, the fans cheer. He's able to get out of the hold and land a Rana that sends Page into the turnbuckle. A short time later, he lands a Stun Dog Millionaire followed by a DDT. He goes for his finisher, the Orange Punch, but Dan Lambert appears on the ring apron, and Orange Cassidy confronts Lambert, and he delivers gentle taps and slaps to Dan Lambert. He sips a little bit of the orange juice he had in his hand. He gives it back to him, and Page is laid out with the Orange Punch. A short time later, an orange circles back to Dan Lambert, and he spits the orange juice in Lambert's face. The crowd pops, so do I, and Cassidy delivers a second orange punch to Ego Ethan Page. And throughout this entire match, Cassidy tried to deliver a power slam to Page. He's too big, but upon the second orange punch, he was able to rebound Page, land that power slam, and score the win. The fans go crazy. I loved this match. Eventually, Trimperetta and Chuck Taylor come back out there to give the people what they want, the group hug with Orange Cassidy. I love this match. Orange Cassidy is so great. Ego Ethan Page is highly underrated on the mic and in the ring. He deserves a bit more, but this is Cassidy's time now to shine. And I go back to his run a couple of years ago against Chris Jericho in those series of matches on TV and pay-per-view. I will always treasure the first match on TV. That was their best match, in my humble opinion. But I just felt as if his momentum was stalled after that feud. And this is AEW's chance to get it right. Orange Cassidy can be a champion. You got several singles belts he can vie for, from the TNT title all the way up to the new All-Atlantic Championship. He needs to be belted. He's so goddamn talented. We saw that at Forbidden Door against Will Ospreay for the IWGP US title. He has what it takes to be a champion that can get over in AEW if given the opportunity. He's hoping that AEW moves in that direction in the months to come. Next up is another live Christian Cage interview. The fans in Detroit boo this dude out of the building. Christian Cage is an absolutely amazing scumbag, dickhead heel. He revels in the hate, and I love him for that, as he is forced to apologize, quote unquote, for what he said about Jungle Boy's father last week. And he says, you know what? I used a poor choice of words instead. I should have said that I wished everyone in Jungle Boy's family was dead instead, so they wouldn't have to see their loser of a son and brother fail on the highest level in AEW. But everybody can die except Jungle Boy's mother. And he tells his mom to call him the ultimate douchebag. Move by Christian Cage. So Cage teased a match tonight, but he says, no, it wasn't going to feature myself, of course. It would feature this man. And Luchasaurus comes out, and this is not the friendly dinosaur we used to know and love. This is Dark Luchasaurus. Got a black dinosaur mask, black gear, dark music, dark lighting, dark everything. Luchasaurus has joined the dark side of the force, and Christian is his guy. He is the right-hand man leading the charge in all of this as he faces off against Serpentico. And this is a squash match in every sense as Luchasaurus dominates Serpentico in under a minute and a half. He locks in a variation of the snare trap into a nerve hold to make Serpentico tap out. And after the match is over, Luchasaurus chokeslams Serpentico on the floor to Christian's delight. And this partnership has taken on a new phase. And I am intrigued by this. Whenever Jungle Boy comes back, that is going to be the go-to feud. He's got to go through Luchasaurus to get to Christian Cage. And that should be quite the battle heading into the heart of the summer. I loved this new presentation for Luchasaurus. It was dark, it was menacing, it was cold, and Christian Cage, being the mastermind behind it all, is a nice touch as well. And he is living his best heel life. He is the main villain on this show right now, the most hated guy in AEW, not named MJF, and that is quite the feat, to say the least. And Christian Cage is delivering on every level, from the mic to his facial expressions at ringside. This dude is evil personified, and I love this run for him so far, as he will continue to antagonize Jungle Boy until Jungle Boy returns and whoops ass accordingly. But Jungle Boy is gonna have to deliver the performances of his life in the ring, and especially on the mic. If he can tap into his emotions and deliver the promo of his life, this will complete the evolution of Jungle Boy as a single star. He's great in the ring. He's just got to bring it a bit more in terms of personality, and Christian Cage will bring that out in you. He is a shit talker. He will rile you up, and you got to step up to him blow for blow. And I think Jungle Boy can do that in the weeks to come. Next up is a trios match featuring the Gun Club's Austin and Colton Gunn alongside Max Caster from the Acclaimed versus Danhausen and a mystery tag team. And that mystery tag team is the best damn tag team in the world. My favorite tag team of the year, FTR, the brand new IWGP World Tag Team Champions, Dax Harwood, Cash Wheeler. They get a great pop from the Detroit crowd. I love FTR. I have loved their run this year, and they are 7-star champs. Damn it. NXT, Raw, SmackDown, AEW, AAA, Ring of Honor, and now New Japan. That is absolutely ridiculous, and they have earned every accolade. Their in-ring work this year has been stellar. Dax Harwood has been a revelation as a singles wrestler, and they are clicking at the right time. And I can only presume that the ultimate endgame will be FTR versus Young Bucks 3 at All Out, and I truly believe FTR will walk out as AEW champs. They will have 4 championship belts. They will be 8-star champs. That is a hell of a stat to accomplish in a year. My God, I love this run for them. And this match was also a lot of fun as we come back from Picture in Picture with Harwood and Rilla delivering stereo German suplexes to Austin and Colton Gunn. Harwood fires off 3 more to give us 6 for him, 9 total for the crew. Rilla lays out Colton Gunn with a palancha on the outside. And we get some herky-jerky work from Austin Gunn going for a net breaker that doesn't exactly land. And Harwood has to make the tag to Danhausen, who gets a great pop from the crowd. And Danhausen has Austin Gunn down for the count. He's going to go for the go to sleep, but Billy Gunn appears on the apron to distract the referee, and this leads to shenanigans as Danhausen tries to curse Billy Gunn. Then we got Anthony Bowens magically hopping out of his wheelchair with crutch in hand to hit Danhausen. But Danhausen curses Anthony Bowens, and Bowens hits Austin Gunn with the crutch instead. And that leads to Danhausen scoring the win for his team as Harwood and Wheeler get rid of Billy Gunn at ringside. And this is a fun match. But the true story is the post-match with the Ass Boys arguing with the Acclaimed. And we have Austin Gunn getting in Anthony Bowens' face. And Billy Gunn, the father of Austin and Colton Gunn, says, "Hey, sons, stand down. Take a step back. Go in your corner, pout for a bit. Don't blame them." And that was a surprising turn of events. I do sense a face turn for the Acclaimed very soon. Caster's been getting over as a babyface, and Bowens is very popular as well. And I would love for them to get over as a babyface tag team. But I do see more equity in Bowens as a single star moving forward. His matches against Danielson and Moxley were very impressive earlier this year. And I would want a singles push for him in the next year or so. But in any event, the Acclaimed are going to get over as a massive tag team with the Raps eventually. And I sense that Billy Gunn will turn on the Acclaimed eventually and side with the Suns at the end of the day. Next up is Jade Cargill, the reigning defending TBS champion, going up against Layla Gray in a title match. And this match was fine. Layla Gray had moments here and there with some knee strikes to Jade Cargill, but Jade Cargill dominated with power slams, fall away slams, the pump kick, and ultimately jaded for the win. And after the match is over, she grabs the mic from Stokely Hathaway and says, "Listen, I am tired of these people and those women bitching backstage about my title reign and how I'm unbeatable. Do something about it. Give me legit competition." And Stokely calls out Chris Statlander and Athena for being comparable opponents, but they're lazy. You let somebody who has not even completed their W-2 form jump ahead of you for a title shot last night. Do better. So Athena and Chris Statlander come out to confront the baddies. They get the jump on Jade and Kiera Hogan, but Stokely Hathaway whispers something in Layla Gray's ear. She gets involved and she attacks Athena and Chris Statlander, and the baddies regain control in an odd twist. Stokely tries to ease Layla Gray into the baddies, but Jade Cargill is having none of it. She basically says, "Bitch, bye." She walks away, curses her out, flips the bird. So this saga continues as they try to find a baddie, fill Red Velvet's shoes in light of her injury as of late, which sucks as Red Velvet was really coming to her own this year in the ring, and here's hoping she heals up very, very soon. And one can presume that Athena and Chris Statlander will be in line for a future shot at the TBS championship. Maybe it could be a triple threat for that belt. We shall see in the weeks to come. And now it is time for our main event. It is Blood and Guts 2 featuring the Jericho Appreciation Society versus the Blackpool Combat Club. And this was a batshit crazy match, and my MVPs are, crazily enough, 2.0s, Matt Menard and Angelo Parker. The blood they gave during this match, the bumps they took, the ass whipping they gave and they took should be commended. They really stood out in a big way, and I'm happy for them. They deserve this. I love their work dating back to their time as Ever Rise on NXT. They were growing on me towards the end, and then they get released, but then they bounce right back in AEW, and they have been stars ever since. Their beef with Sting still holds a place in my heart, and their performance last night was a nice added touch to all of that. So the Jericho Appreciation Society comes out wearing all red everything, red vests, red pants, red hats. Daniel Garcia got a do-rag on that's red. He was just doing the absolute most. So at Double or Nothing, they gave us all white, like they're the Backstreet Boys. And last night they gave us Chippendales on the Las Vegas Strip, gave us a little bit of Magic Mike, which was very interesting. And they all look like a bunch of douchebags, for the record. Then we have the Blackpool Combat Club coming out. Claudio Castagnoli was over. I enjoyed his debut this past Sunday at Forbidden Door against Zack Sabre Jr. And he's a full-fledged member of AEW, a member of the Blackpool Combat Club as well. Mox's entrance was a lot of fun as well. As you walk through the Detroit crowd and you saw the camera shot of a sea of people, you saw the full scope of that arena being packed and Mox being over as the fans sing along to Wild Thing, as he is now the new interim AEW world champion. That was not mentioned by Justin Roberts for reasons I don't get, but hey, he's a champ, damn it. He's got big platinum once again for a second reign as we wait for CM Punk to recover, which should lead to the ultimate champion versus champion match, unify these titles at some point in the very near future. And we kicked off Blood and Guts with Claudio versus Sammy Guevara. And Sammy went for something. from the jump that went awry, but both men eventually got back on the same page as Claudio lifted his dude up with European uppercuts early on, and Sammy wanted to be Spider-Man at one point. He wants to climb the cage. He wants to jump rope to rope between the rings. And it was very impressive. And the fans responded by saying, fuck you, Sammy. Despite your agility, despite your speed, you still suck. So Claudio is going to lift Sammy up for that elevated European uppercut. But Sammy turns it into a cutter out of nowhere in a great spot. So Sammy is showing off, being proud of himself. He's in position for the big swing by Claudio. And that leaves Daniel Garcia getting in the ring with a do-rag on to whoop ass as we go to our first picture-in-picture break during Blood and Guts. We come back and the heels have Claudio isolated in the corner for a bit due to the numbers advantage. Eventually, Willie Yuta gets in the match next. He's over with the people. He delivers a lovely crossbody to Daniel Garcia, and he delivers a series of German suplexes to both Garcia and Guevara, and Claudio adds a little hot sauce by hitting an uppercut on Guevara upon that German suplex. Next in the ring is Jake Hager. He suplexes Willie Yuta immediately, and we get a confrontation. And two things I noticed. One, after all of this time, the fans still kind of love the Real Americans. They love the old tag team of Cesaro and the artist formerly known as Jack Swagger. Number two, these dudes are tall as fuck. They are big horses standing eye to eye, toe to toe. And I love this exchange as the fans chant, "We the people," like it's 2013 and 14 all over again. I get a flashback to WrestleMania 30 and Cesaro wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale, and we thought he was on the ascent. He was for a time, and then he crashes right back down to earth due to bad booking by WWE. But hey, he had a great run nonetheless in the E. Now he's an AEW whipping ass accordingly, and eventually Jake Hager overwhelms the babyfaces with the 3-on-2 advantage until Jon Moxley gets in the ring, and he is going to be whooping ass left and right. He has a fork, and he is going to stab Daniel Garcia in the forehead with it to make him gush as we go to our next picture-in-picture commercial break. We come back and the chaos ensues with Mox and Yuta hitting a heart attack on Garcia from the top rope, and he is already bleeding heavily from the forehead. Angelo Parker, my MVP, gets in the ring next, and he realizes, oh shit, everybody's down on my team. I'm outnumbered right now. What do? I run like a bitch. He's running. He's trying to escape the scene. But Claudio catches him with a gut-wrench suplex and gets him back in the ring fairly quickly. But eventually, the Jericho Appreciation Society regains control, and they beat down the Blackpool Combat Club with Hager smashing Claudio's ankle with a chair. Ortiz gets in the ring. He evens the odds. As we go to another picture-in-picture break, we come back and we get a split-screen shot of Moxley delivering a power driver to Angelo Parker on glass. Shards of glass he poured in the ring. And we look back at Angelo Parker, and he is bleeding profusely. He is bleeding like a stunk pig, and it is graphic. It is gnarly. And the Blood and Guts has really begun at this point. Menard is in there next, and he smashes his opponents with a chair. Moxley was busted open as well due to his injury dating back to Forbidden Door this past Sunday against Hiroshi Tanahashi for the interim AEW World Championship. But he's bleeding a bit as well as we hear the infamous "We Want Tables" chant. And thankfully, Santana and Eddie Kingston is going to give the people what they want as Santana's in the ring next. He has a barbed wire bat. He's going crazy. He hits a uranage on a member of the JAS, but upon the execution of this uranage, his knee gives out. You can see it's a torn ACL immediately. He is immobilized in the ring, and this absolutely sucks. This was the injury I mentioned at the top of the show, and they had to kind of restructure things in the ring in real time as he was legitimately injured. So Moxley grabs some skewers, and he stabs Matt Menard in the forehead with it. Moxley is absolutely sadistic. He is a wild, crazy individual. And Matt Menard is also bleeding profusely when he pops back up and delivers a low blow to Moxley. Yuta and Garcia, meanwhile, are trading slaps like this is a strong style match. And I would love to see these guys go at it in the ring one-on-one. That would be a technical masterpiece of the highest order, as I think that Garcia could low-key be a member of the Blackpool Combat Club in maybe 6 months' time. So Jericho is finally in the ring for his team. He's got Floyd the baseball bat. Ortiz cuts him off with a DDT, and he chokes him with the chair. And then we have a parade of big spots from the faces and heels in this situation. Claudio is laid out with the Codebreaker after his little spurt of offense as well. And the match officially begins with Eddie Kingston delivering very funny kendo stick shots to members of the Jericho Appreciation Society. I laugh my ass off. Then he gets Jericho and he beats his ass with that kendo stick, has some rubbing alcohol that he's trying to pour on Jericho, but it doesn't work. Jericho is going to get the alcohol, but it never comes into play for whatever reason, which kind of sucks. So Kingston is in there directing traffic. A table is set up in the ring as he and Ortiz put Jake Hager through the table and take him out of this match. And eventually Moxley ups to crazy by pouring thumbtacks all over the ring, but it's a setup for himself as Jericho locks Mox in the walls of Jericho, pressing him into the thumbtacks, dragging him around the ring onto said thumbtacks, which had to hurt. Kingston breaks it up by throwing the thumbtacks in Chris Jericho's face, and they get into another brawl in the other ring, and Jericho is going to use a fire extinguisher to slow down Kingston, and that allows Ty Conti to open the cage door to let shenanigans happen from the outside. Ruby Soho stops Ty from causing more trouble. They get into a fight and brawl backstage. And this leads to the climb of climbs as Jericho starts to climb the structure to reach the top of the cage. Eddie Kingston is in pursuit. And Angelo Parker is hanging upside down against one of the beams. And he's bleeding profusely as we go to another break. That was a hell of a visual. So we come back and we got Kingston and Jericho fighting on top of the cage. The visual is everything. The crowd is popping as Kingston bites Jericho and then delivers a spinning back fist. He's going to throw Jericho off the cage, but Sammy Guevara makes a climb to the top and he makes a save for his partner. But Eddie Kingston is going to low blow Sammy Guevara and he is going to chuck Sammy off the top of the cage onto a table way down below. And this was an absolutely batshit crazy spot. We go back to what Jericho endured last year against MJF. He took a nasty bump off the cage onto the ramp and the camera shots exposed some cardboard. This year, that was not the case as Sammy went through those tables and they shot it perfectly to make sure it was a safe but gnarly bump at the exact same time as we go to our final picture-in-picture break. We come back and Kingston and Jericho are still fighting atop the cage. Jericho locks in the walls of Jericho on Kingston. Claudio makes a climb as well. He's on top of the cage to break it up with the boot to the face on Jericho. And of course, Claudio picks up Jericho. And on top of the cage, he delivers the big swing and the crowd is going crazy. What a moment that was. Matt Menard, Daddy Magic himself, is going to climb to the top of that cage and cause trouble, but he's going to be locked into a Boston Crab by Claudio. And Kingston has Jericho in the stretch plum and both guys have submissions locked and the referee is overseeing all of this from below. And Matt Menard taps out. Daddy Magic taps out and the Blackpool Combat Club wins. And Kingston realizes, I did not make Jericho submit. He did not surrender. This is not a true victory for me. To quote Taz, this was a Pyrrhic victory. We won, but I really didn't win because I wanted to make Jericho submit. And he gave Claudio the side eye. He was happy, but not very happy about it. And they had this tension to wrap up Dynamite as we had Moxley, Yuta, Ortiz, and Claudio celebrating. And Kingston's trying to warm up to it. At the end, he does fist bump Claudio. But you can sense tension because remember, Bryan Danielson handpicked Claudio for this spot to be a member of the Blackpool Combat Club to replace him in Blood and Guts. And Claudio and Kingston got beef from their days on the indie scene, Chikara specifically, and Claudio stole the spotlight from Kingston. He stole the most important victory of Kingston's career, and he is going to pay for it some way, somehow. Kingston might flip to being a heel when this is all said and done to play into this long-standing rivalry, and it makes sense. The subtlety in this story was outstanding, a very good way to end the show, as this feud should be put to bed officially via Blood and Guts 2 going down last night in Detroit. I thought this was a very good match. It was very violent. I do always question when we go up top, we forget everything that's happening in the ring. It's just like dead time in there. Time's frozen and nothing of note is going down. Thankfully, they got Santana out of the ring. He has a serious leg injury. More details will come out in the next day or so. That absolutely sucks for him because he is a great performer, a great talker, And what a time to get hurt when there is an injury bug biting AEW, something fierce. But all in all, I thought this was a very good match. I will say it's a touch above last year's Blood and Guts in front of a more raucous and fiery crowd, and the in-ring work was pretty damn good throughout as well. And I thought this was a solid to very good episode of Dynamite, and I hope this is the first show to get things back on track for AEW moving forward. It's been a rough go in the last month or so doing dual promotion for Blood and Guts and Forbidden Door with New Japan, and that is a tall task to multitask two things at the exact same time. Now they can slow down the pace. They can do their own shows, so Fyter Fest, Fight for the Fall, and ultimately All Out in September, which builds to Grand Slam back at Arthur Ashe Stadium in September, which should be a blast once again. But it's time to refocus and really realign some views heading into the heart of the summer. And one more thing to note is the numbers. The ratings have been so for AEW as of late. There was a really low Dynamite number a couple of weeks ago that spooked people. The Rampage numbers have been pretty eerie as well. Basketball and hockey season is over now. These numbers should rebound starting this week. If not, we got questions, but we'll see how it goes starting today when those Dynamite numbers drop on Showbiz Daily at around 4:30 on most days. But I thought this was a fun show. Here's hoping this is the first step towards them getting back to where they were prior to Double or Nothing as they build to All Out going down in September from Chicago, Illinois. And with that, this wraps up episode number 70 of The Dynamite Effect, recapping the highs and lows from AEW Dynamite on TBS. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow me on social media at Lady Wrestling X on Twitter and on Instagram at WrestleTopia. There you can find me tweeting and gramming about these podcast shows that drop on the semi-daily recapping Monday Night Raw, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, and AEW Rampage on TNT. You know what to do, so to WrestleTopia and follow me on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, plus Amazon Alexa and Spotify. I'll be back Saturday morning with episode number 42 of the SmackDown Wind Down / AEW Rampage Late Night Rager. Until then, enjoy your Thursday and your Friday. Stay safe out there, and don't forget to wash those hands. See you later, boys and girls. Take care.